Budget pressure is pushing the pay-for-results concept to a tipping point. That's what Steve Kelman sees, at least. He's professor of public management at the Harvard Kennedy School of Government, former administrator of federal procurement policy. He says the pay-for-results idea has been growing for a while, but now it's taking off. Steve, by the term tipping point, you're referring to what you learned about innovation, you write, in SCW. What do you mean specifically by that term tipping point?
Sure. The idea is that almost any innovation starts off slow. There are a few what are called early adopters who are very enthusiastic once they get started. And initially, not very many people follow along. If nobody follows along, the innovation will never spread. But a lot of times what happens to innovations that end up being successful is that you have some early adopters and some people join them, and then a little bit more cautious people then start joining them. And then the tipping point is the point at which adoption starts to become the thing to do. Doing the change becomes the default alternative. And then adoption of the change spreads very rapidly. It goes on a very steep upward curve. And the point at which the adoption of a change or an innovation moves from increasing very slowly to increasing very rapidly is called the tipping point.
So you propose in this piece in FCW that we have linked at federalnewsradio.com that we may be approaching a tipping point in this pay for results concept. And you write about the appeal of it. You write, if government wants to get another party to do something, stop paying them just for effort or producing stuff that doesn't necessarily accomplish an outcome. And here's your example. Don't pay job training providers for providing training courses. Pay them for actually getting people jobs. The word there that I zeroed in on, because I'm hearing it a lot more, is outcomes, Steve, and I'm hearing it as opposed to outputs, which is what government seems to be really good at measuring and has historically been willing to pay for rather than paying for outcomes. Am I on target there?
I guess, Francis, I draw two distinctions. One is paying for results of some sort. The best results to pay for are, as you absolutely correctly point out, outcomes. You could also pay for outputs and not pay if you don't get outputs. So one dimension is, do people we are doing business with need to actually produce something in order for us to pay them? And are they willing to tie their payment to producing something? That, hopefully, as outcomes, could be outputs. The second dimension is, if we pay for results, what kinds of results are we paying for? And there I agree with you 100%, although I don't take up that distinction too much in this blog, but I agree with what you're saying, that it is better for the government to try to get outcomes, do people get jobs, rather than outputs, do the courses actually take place.
You undersell yourself a little bit in this piece, Steve, because you mention, this is how you frame it, it was one of the main issues I personally spent time on as administrator of the Office of Federal Procurement Policy in the 90s, this concept of performance-based contracting. You championed that. I mean, you really pushed it in your time in that office, and it's something that people are still talking about today. You do credit the George Bush 41 administration for working on this in the late 1980s.
Actually, the person who got it started, and I want to give him credit, is my good friend Al Berman, who was my Republican. Probably your listeners know I'm a Democrat, but I think a pretty nonpartisan one, certainly by Washington standards today, if I may say so. Al was my predecessor under Bush 41. He got this started. I'll tell you a story I haven't told too many people. My first day after I was confirmed by the Senate as OFPP administrator in 93, I was taking over my office from Al. So we were sort of trading while he was leaving and I was coming in. And I sat down, and I remember exactly where I was sitting on a big couch there, and I said, Al, I am a believer in terms of management improvement in continuity. I don't want to just sort of start off new things just because they're new. I know a lot of people, that's a Washington game. I don't want to play that Washington game. So I said to him, Al, tell me the two or three things you worked on that you would most like me not to abandon and to continue working on. And I promise you, I'll do my best to work on them. And the first one he mentioned was performance-based contracting. And I did try to follow that, so I do want to give him credit. In the context of a tipping point, I felt both Al and I were still at that early stage of the adoption curve. We were still where it was spreading slowly. there was no tipping point then. And I very much felt that we were working on trying to get this started and getting some other people to come along, but we didn't hit a tipping point at that point.
How have you judged the results of that as it's evolved then since your tenure at OFPP?
Well, I mean, I think it was also pushed under, to some extent, under the Bush, under the second Bush administration, but I guess Bush 43. My impression is that we have made a lot of progress in terms of performance-based contracting on the lower-hanging fruits. Often they are outputs. So, for example, I think if you look at contracts for, data centers, for example, pretty much most or all of those contracts have system availability performance measures in those contracts, and there's a certain required system availability. The system has to be up 99.3% of the time, or whatever it is, and there's either rewards or penalties for exceeding that or going below that. I think a lot of, I mean, certainly this was around to some extent even when I was in the government, which now seems like a very long time ago, I'm embarrassed to say, but things like cutting contracts to cut grass in a government facility, where instead of saying use this kind of equipment, cut the grass this often and so forth, they said the grass must be kept at a certain maximum height. It can't be more than, I'm going to make this up, 3/4 of an inch.
Mm-hmm.
Those kinds of low-hanging fruits, I think we've made a lot of progress on in terms of performance-based contracting. I think some of the tougher ones, a lot of the more complex, IT applications, which have performance features that are supposed to do something for customers, I think we've made less progress on it. And to get back to your original question, Francis, I think on outcomes we've made less progress on.
Steve Kelman.
A lot of performance-based contracts are still outputs.
Steve Kelman of Harvard University, writing in Federal Computer Week about paying for results. Is that a cultural problem, Steve? Is it a worldview issue, or is there some policy or procedural thing that could impact that, do you think?
Well, so I think it is largely cultural. Only I don't think people resist. I think it's a new way of doing business. There are going to be some people will be more attracted to it, some or less. There is a group, I guess I'm going to say this, of the ideological anti-business community that doesn't like paying for results, because a good pay for results is that you're punishing if people don't do it, but you're rewarding a contractor or an organization if they do it. The ideological anti-business people are worried the contractor is going to make too much of a profit. My view is, if the contractor has delivered results, I have no problem with them making a nice profit. But there is, I think, if I had to sort of say, where is their political or ideological opposition to this, to the extent it's out there, it would come mostly from the sort of strongly ideological anti-business constituency that wants to sort of whip contractors and, not allow them to make profits even if they do a good job.
Well, or doesn't even want contractors in the first place, wants somebody in the government to do it all.
That as well.
You say, you write in this piece, I see two signs we may be reaching a takeoff point for the kind of innovation that's involved here. One's the sheer number of different forms the basic idea takes. Is that a good thing or a bad thing that this idea of paying for results is headed in so many different directions? Because it strikes me that if it goes too many different directions, it might be hard for somebody to decide how they want to pursue it.
That's a good point. I think it's basically a good thing, because there may be, I think under the basic heading of paying for results, I think a let 100 flowers bloom is a good approach. So you have my colleague here at the Kennedy School, Jeff Liebman, has been very involved in something called social impact bonds. That's very outcome-oriented. You're taking tough-to-deal-with social problems, a lot of them at the state or local level, like recidivism by criminals. And basically what you're doing there, so that's an outcome, reducing recidivism. What these social impact bonds are is that a state or local government, there are some of these actually in Massachusetts and a number of other states and localities right now, will actually work with either social enterprises or investors who want to do some socially oriented investing, like even like a Goldman Sachs or an investment company wants to put in some of their investment into a social return thing. And they will invest in some usually nonprofit that has an idea for how to reduce recidivism. And these for-profit companies lend the nonprofit money to try out their idea. The government then issues a bond that will be paid back to the investors, the Goldman Sachs of the world, if the recidivism rate goes down. That approach won't work everywhere. It's a very almost like a venture capital approach, and it's a mixture of private and public. In other areas, you may have just sort of standard contracts, or to take something that's spreading very rapidly, you may have contests and challenges, which is, as you know about the contests challenge.gov website that GSA runs. This is spreading very rapidly in the government. This may be in the federal government the most rapidly spreading form of pay for results. I just actually saw in the Post last week that USAID has determined a contest winner for a contest to develop an Ebola decontamination suit that is much easier to take off and put on than the existing ones. They had a contest, and they have $150,000 available, and the entity that came up with the best solution to this problem gets paid by the government. That's another approach. I guess my intuition is let 100 flowers bloom, but the basic underlying theme is we're only going to pay for results. We're not just going to pay for effort or showing up or trying hard.